How about, let's do other, what we'll do is we'll kind of contrast with other New Testament things that might be similar or apply, and then also look at some Old Testament and specifically in the Psalms. So let's see how good our memories are and what we can think of as far as a beatitude. I have them written down here, so I'm fortunate. I am fortunate in that. So let's start with Dan, actually. Let's put him on the spot. Are you cheating? Oh, okay. Well, I didn't want you to don't open your Bibles yet to look at this. So was there one you knew before you looked?
As far as
a beatitude.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I missed.
Okay. All right. So, looking at that, that would be the first one, right? I'll open my Bible so we don't get off track here. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So I'm just going to use this word. I'll just do the word poor. And that is verse 3. So he actually got the first one, so he's in order. So that's even better. And we don't have to do them in order. So how about Pastor Trummel? Larry, do you got something?
A beatitude?
Yes.
Boy, we need to be warmed up today, and I'm kind of cold, but...
I'm sorry, okay.
I think blessed are you when men revile you and say all the people against you.
Awesome. Yes, that is one. And so that would actually be... the last one, blessed the persecuted, right? So persecuted. So we'll put that one down here. And that's in verse 10. And the way that they're shown as being little lines kind of end there at verse 10. But I think 11 and 12 would follow that. Let me just read verse 10. It says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So that's 10 through 12. So we'll just put persecute. How about that? That'll be a good catch-all. Yes, Mr. Clapham.
Another one?
Yes.
Blessed are the pure in heart, because they shall see God.
Ah, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Okay, so that's number 8. I'm glad this isn't a quiz, because I wouldn't know them in the right order. Blessed are the pure in heart. So I'm just going to use the word pure for that one. I know we're just kind of jumping right into this, but we'll see where this is going.
All the others going to be with
P2? No, but that's kind of cool how that alliteration is working right now. I liked it. I liked it. Okay. So, yes, Megan.
Keeping with the alliteration, you need the peacemakers.
The peacemakers. All right. So where in this collection do you think it would go?
I think it's between 3 and 8.
It's number 9, actually.
It's 9.
Remember, Brian, the ex-Navy, I don't know, Neil, if you had something like this in the military, or Dan, but it was the 50-50-90 rule?
Yeah.
If there was a 50-50 chance of getting it right or wrong, you got it wrong 90% of the time. The 50-50-90 rule. So peacemaker, yes. Peacemaker. Awesome. That's good. That's good. So we've got, I think there's 8 here total. So we've got half of them. 4, 5, 6, and 7. Any others? Wait. Oh. Who has one? How about Bill?
Meek.
All right. Which one do you think that is?
5.
Exactly. 5. So what is it with the meek? What's going to happen to them? Inherit the earth. This.
I remember that because I have trouble being meek.
Okay. And this is, that's actually the one that got this whole thing going in my head. So this is the one that got it because that one's pretty, very, very familiar, very familiar. All right.
Come on.
Mourn. Mourn. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Which one is that?
Four?
Yes, verse 4. Mourn. All right. So we have two more. Ooh, ding, 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 ding. Yes, there is. Now it's a 50-50, 90 chance.
Six.
Six, yes. How about hunger, mourn, or no, they hunger and they thirst, right? They thirst and hunger. All right, that's a comma right there. Thirst and hunger, good. And then one more, which would be verse 7. Anyone? Got that. There's a psalm that has, talking about God and the attribute of God, it endures forever, and it just says it on every verse. His mercy. Mercy. Merciful, right? Remember that one? What does it say about the merciful? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. There we go. Merciful. Okay, now, please. Open your Bibles and flip to Matthew chapter 5. And just and look at that. So did we do a Sunday school where we went through these individually some time ago? I don't know. I don't remember. Anyway. Carolyn, would you please read through verse just 3 through 12.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Pretty amazing words. Let's go ahead and pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we can gather this morning because of what the Lord Jesus has done. God, by your grace and your mercy, he came and lived the life that we could never live and died the death that we deserve. And so, Father, we pray you'd send your spirit. And, Lord, even as we just heard your word, that mind of you, God, that mind of the Lord Jesus, that would be adjectives and characteristics that would describe us. Please be merciful, Lord. We have failed in these, all of them, at one point or another, Father. So please be merciful to us. Illuminate our hearts. Cause us to delight in you, that you would receive that glory and honor that's in your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So that was the introduction. Wonderful. Thank you. So now, what I would like to do is look at some contrasts in the New Testament of this. And my material came from a website called therain.org. I would say if you ever look at that website, be discerning. It is it's dispensational, and admittedly so. But still, there's I may not agree with that, but they appear to be dear brothers and sisters in Christ and just really amazing what they've brought together. And so just really, really great, really, really great stuff. So it was really neat. So what is the opposite of a blessing? Because isn't that how many of them start? What would be the opposite of a blessing?
A curse.
What's a word that Jesus uses over and over, instead of curse, that means the same thing?
Woe.
Right. So, in the book of Matthew, where are a list of woes? Very close. How about 23? So this is something I had never thought of, heard of, considered, but when you see it brought together, it's pretty amazing. At least I thought it was. I thought it was. So yeah, so let's go, if you'd like, kind of somehow keep a finger in chapter 5, but then go ahead and flip over to chapter 23. Chapter 23. And we're going to pick it up in verse 13. Right, just to set the stage a little, chapter 23 starts off. So this is Jesus is in Jerusalem. Jesus spoke to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works. For they say and do not do." So that's the setting here. And so it's in the presence of a lot of different types of people. So then we're going to look at the comparisons between these woes and the Beatitudes. So let's start off with verse 13, and I will read that. It says, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." So they shut it up, and they themselves don't go in, and they don't allow others to go in. Now, flipping back to chapter 5, do you see a beatitude that contrasts? Poor in spirit. Yeah, this is, we have to be a little loose in our contrasting, but just the general gist of things. Because at the end of verse 3, what does it say? Theirs is the kingdom of God. And so Jesus is saying about the scribes and the Pharisees that theirs is not the kingdom of God. In fact, they shut it and don't allow people to go into it. So, I don't know how I want to do this. I need three hands. Okay, it's Mother's Day, you have three hands sometimes, don't you? Share one? All right, so I'm going to do the kingdom here. And then it is, it's shut. And so that is in verse 13, we see that the kingdom is shut to them. All right. So as you read ahead, do you see how these compare and contrast and are almost the exact opposite? Hey, Jill, do you have verse 14 handy there of 23?
Yeah. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you devour widows' houses, even while for a pretense you make long prayers. Therefore you shall receive greater condemnation."
All right. So do you see anything, if you flip back to chapter 5, think about the disposition of a widow, especially a new widow. What is she doing?
Mourning.
She's mourning. She's sad. All right. So that could be the exact that could be. See how that would relate to verse 4 there. So the scribes or the Pharisees, it says they're hypocrites. And so they have these long prayers where they might be even saying about you know, how they might be sorrowful for sin or something, and yet they are truly devouring those who are truly mourning. And so I don't necessarily know what word I should put here, but I'll just put the word hypocrite. And that's verse 14. And I've certainly played the hypocrite at times. All right. So let's continue. Let's look at verse 15. Katie, do you have verse 15, please? So they're going about trying to make these proselytes. So they're traveling all over. And so what one might that look like? This one's kind of a stretch, I think, but
what's all over the earth?
Yeah, the earth. Yes. So the meek will inherit the earth, and yet these scribes and Pharisees are going all over the earth. All right? Okay, please.
How about verse 9 of the Exodus? These figures, they shall be called sons of God.
Ah, sons of God. Well, one of the things, Jeff, it's, I'm not going to have any diagonals. It's all just going to be straight across.
Not one of those checking wrong ones.
No. And so it is a stretch. So the meek, we're going to inherit the earth, right? They're going to inherit the earth. And these hypocrites, they travel the earth. And they are certainly not meek. Certainly not meek. All right, and that was verse 15. Okay, so the next one is going to be a little bit longer stretch here. I mean, as far as number of verses. Not making it fit. We're not twisting scripture here. All right, how about Jeff? Would you read 16 through 22, please?
Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. He who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits.
So all our swearing there is, all those oaths we make are before God, obviously. All right. So, how does that fit in with number 6, or verse 6 of chapter 5?
Well, these guys are playing the game.
Right, they're the hypocrites. They're putting on a show.
Yeah. They distort righteousness.
Yeah. They twist it. Yeah. Hey, Larry, there's a word on here I want you to read. You used it in a sermon a few weeks ago, and I can't pronounce it right. What that word right there?
Casuistry.
You remember that word?
Yeah.
And what does that word mean? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Okay, give us an explanation. Here, let me just read what it says here. It says, false righteousness sought by casuistry.
It means dealing with sorting out what we call cases of conscience.
Yes. So here is this argument that Jesus is talking against. It's like, well, if you say this is this and this is this, but it's all in the temple. It's all under God. And so, yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, oh, I had my fingers crossed and I made that, you know, or a pinky promise or something like that, right? I mean, we get
lying.
It's lying. Yeah. Absolutely. It's not being righteous. So in doing all these oaths and this swearing, they are not hungering and thirsting for righteousness. They are putting on a show. So that's 16 through 22. So I'll just use the word hypocrisy again.
What did you think of what James said? Just bet your yes to that.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. Yeah, that was where my mind went, to something along those lines exactly. All right. So how about Mr. Wells? Would you be or please read verses 23 and 24 of Matthew 23.
Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel.
Right. So going back to chapter 5, verse 7 says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So we can see they have omitted mercy. They have not been merciful. All right, so 23 through 24 is the lack of mercy and so much more. Again, just going through those motions and those things that are outwardly visible and not having the heart that the Lord is looking for. All right. So just to ask a question, anyone seen this or ever thought of that or ever seen this comparison and contrast? I hadn't. So I thought it was pretty neat. It was neat to see how it continues or how it kind of compares there. All right. Carolyn Wells, would you please read 25 and 26?
Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also.
All right. So if we look at verse 8 of chapter 5, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So Jesus uses the word blind, and they make it look all nice on the outside, but the inside is not good. So there's not purity. There is lack of purity and there is blindness. So we could say impure, blind. So that's 25 and 26. 25 and 26. Okay. And now verses 27 and 28. Oh, I lost my place here. 27 and 28. Anybody that would like to read? Or I'll read it, all right? 27 says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are all full of dead men's bones and an all uncleanness. Even to you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. So contrasting that with verse 9 of chapter 5, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. That one is a little bit of a stretch there. But sons of God, and we think of what lawlessness is. It's the antithesis of being a son of God. that word up here. So, lawless. So you think of, one that's a peacemaker is going to be following the law. 27 to 28, and that brings us to the last one. Persecutors. All right. How about Megan? Could you read 29 through 33 of chapter 23, please? So 29 through 33.
Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up, then, the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell?
Yeah. And so back at verse 10, it says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Then in those verses that Megan just read, Jesus is saying that they are the sons of those who persecuted and killed the prophets. So you see how that compares there. So they are the ones who persecute. Persecutors. P-R-O-R-S. So that's 29-33. All right. So I didn't want to end on the negative. So we're gonna go now look at Old Testament stuff to go back to more on this side of things and Psalms. Any comments, questions, observations, anything like that at all?
I hadn't seen that whole concept of whether or not it's a real thing one for one. Just that we have the positive side presented to the children of God, and then the woes presented to those that are leading astray.
Right. Right. So I thought it was a very interesting to see that.
One thing to note is that, and I think why you had a lot of difficulty with the woes is that the antithesis of the Beatitudes is intermixed in the woes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they cross over several different boundaries. The Lord makes it very clear about the characteristics of those who are His. But in the world, with the Pharisees, all the antithesis of those things is intermixed. It's difficult to even sort out. So that's why the Lord uses examples about what they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that violated the very principles because it was so entrenched in their, traditions and the way that they did things. It's hard to sort it out. It's even hard to sort it out in our day.
Right. All right. So let's put our thinking caps on. Not that we ever took them off. But what I would like to... Can any of you think of any psalm come to mind that might mimic some of the exact words or the concepts or the ideas of the Beatitudes? How about some of the songs that we sing?
Bless the man that fears Jehovah.
How about the do 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 do. As the deer pants. What song is that? Do I have that written down? I hope I did. I think I did. Verses 1 and 2. I won't give up my day job. Okay. So, how about with number 6, thirst and hunger? Does anyone have Psalm 42:1-2?
As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?
All right. So, does that sound like one who would be thirsting for righteousness and hungry? All right. Psalm 42, 1 and 2, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so we're looking at the Psalms now here. Oh, whoops, that's too long a line.
Okay,
nothing diagonal. All right. 42, 1 and 2, and as the deer. The deer. All right. Oh, dear. There we go. The deer. Okay. So I didn't do that one in order. Okay. So I had said the meek. This is the one that got me going. And I was simply reading through the Psalms. And it's like, meek? That's really weird. I don't know if I've ever seen that before. How many times have you read the Psalms? I've read them tens of times. Go ahead.
Right. But meek is latent in the Psalms. Just in a disposition.
Look up Psalm 37, Brian. And everyone else who would like to. 37, and focus on read verse 11 when you find 37:11.
Mm-hmm. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace.
All right. That's almost a twofer.
Yeah.
Right? So, the meek shall inherit the earth and delight themselves in peace.
In the abundance of peace.
All right. So that was 37:11. 37:11. And I didn't go back and look at original language or anything like that, but
the NAS says prosperity for peace.
Peace. Okay. Prosperity. All right. Okay. So, anything else for any of those? Was there?
How about Psalm? Do you have Psalm 32 up there somewhere? That seems to include a lot of.
All right. Well, I don't, but please share.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit.
So maybe like the number 8 there with verse 8, pure in heart. Okay. All right. That's not one that I have written down, but it could be. All right. How about over here? Could you look up Psalm 40, verse 17, please? What version is that?
ESV.
All right. So the New King James says, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God." So the poor. Had that for the first one, for the poor in spirit. Thank you for reading that. I'm going to erase that. So that was 40:17. 40:17, the poor. And it's interesting, I like the word deliverer. Did you ever use the word deliverer, or what was the word?
You're my help, my deliverer.
Okay. Deliverer, right. And so where is he delivering us to? He's delivering us from our calamity, but he's taking us to heaven. Yeah, all right. So, do you feel like you got the pump primed a little bit, Pastor Trommel? Things
sure.
Working a little better?
Sure.
Good. I feel like I'm working a little bit better, too. A little cool coming in here. All right, Psalm 119, 136. This one I didn't think was a real good, exact one.
119, 136?
Yeah, 119, 136.
Rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law.
Yeah. They were saying that one goes with, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And so, crying is a part of mourning,
yeah.
I'm sure, there. So that was 119, 136.
Psalm 23, verse 4, that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
Yes. Yeah, excellent. No doubt. That's really good. That's definitely mourning when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Again. All right. Let's go. How about for verse 7 there, the merciful. Now, on my paper, things don't line up exactly, so I gotta keep this straight here. And sometimes it's two verses for one. Ah. How about let's go to number 8. Let's do that one. This one I thought was pretty good. Jill, how about, you remember that verse, Psalm, that you taught the kids to memorize, him and Nathan? 24. Yeah, do you remember that one? I remember that part too. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, ye everlasting gates. Well, verse 4 of chapter 24. Well, let's just start. Someone read verse or chapter 24, the first 4 verses. Yes.
The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully.
So verse 4 says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. And where does he get to go? He may ascend the hill of the Lord. Is that what it's saying?
And who may ascend the hill of the Lord.
Right. And so if that's where God is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So for number 8, or verse 8, pure in heart, with Psalm 24, they will see God. Yeah, because they are pure. All right, so we're getting closer down here. Okay, yeah, let's look at merciful. How about, you have one? Okay, go.
I feel like we can all go through this
all the time. We could probably find tons.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the mercy of the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's describing the Lord. But how about describing people?
Yeah, no, but that's where we should get our, that's what we should try to.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, Brian, you have one?
Yeah.
Okay, go.
I have 135.
Okay.
Never mind. I'm
Jeff.
I'm cheating, but I have a
okay.
Question. Let me do a Psalm 41, verse 1.
Ooh, ding, ding, ding. He gets it.
You have to look and see the different meanings of the word, one of the words in here, which gets us closer, but that reads, blessed is he who considers the poor, the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. And on that word poor also can mean, if I lost the question, just a second, I can find the could mean, helpless or powerless.
The poor, helpless or powerless.
Helpless or powerless. So they're showing mercy on those who are helpless or powerless.
All right. That's it. I didn't give him a heads up on that one. So. All right. So that's 41.1. 41.1. And that's talking about being kind to the poor. Having mercy. All right. You're good. Okay, so how about the peacemakers? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. So peace could be the opposite of war. And if we are in a peaceful setting, we could be in unity with one another. So if brothers are dwelling together in unity, you know, I'm leading here. This is an interesting psalm. How about let's everybody flip over to Psalm 133. Psalm 133. Right there in verse 1 of 133, it says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." So that dwelling together in unity is being in a peaceful situation, and that is probably for us to not let others get us bent and spun up is something that we have to work on with our spouses, our children, each other, unity. And that brings us to the last one that I have here, at least on my paper. And it's a few verses, so go backwards in Psalms a little bit to Psalm 40. And I'll read, before we report, I'm just going to read 10 through 12 one more time of Matthew chapter 5. It says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And then in Psalm 40, verses 13 through 15, it says, "Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish me evil." So that was the one. There were a few others for that, but that was the one that I selected. So that is Psalm 40, 13 through 15. All right. So, when you're reading your Bible, how often is it that you're reading along something and it's like, oh, I never remember seeing that before. It's like, oh, that reminds me of something else. And so that was what kind of happened with me when I was reading just in my regular morning reading. And that's kind of what brought me to do this. But it's amazing. The Lord has one ultimate author and one point and one purpose, and has used a lot of different people over the years to do that. So any other comments, observations, anything to share?
Yeah, like you said, Kim, what you're reminding us of is the unity of the Scripture and how the Scripture interprets itself and how we have, like the shadow in the Old Testament, the reality in the New, and the fulfillment of it, mm-hmm. all those things mm-hmm. are, part of this.
Yeah, the persecuting.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah.
Go, Brian.
You know, one of the things that's kind of interesting is that when you look at this picture that the Lord gives about how He would have us to be our character and whatnot, and then you kind of like look at the tapestry of history and the various events that have happened over time, in the early church and the persecution that went on, and, in history with Christendom, with the Holy Wars and all this other stuff, or even the Reformation, and you put it against this backdrop, it's just interesting to see the contrast there.
Right.
How some people interpreted what it meant to be a Christian, even in our lives, and justified, in some cases, some very bad behavior.
Mm-hmm.
That would stand in stark contrast to what the Lord is telling people to do.
Mm-hmm.
We often get it wrong, thinking we're doing something
the Lord's
God,
work.
We're doing something for ourselves or our interpretation.
Yeah. The Apostle Paul certainly, thought he was doing God's work, and he was arrested in that. He was on the way, but you think of where our country is headed with the way things are changing in our country. So we will be those that stand out more and more. So, all right, I'll go ahead and pray, and we can be done a few minutes early. All right. Well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you, God, for your mercy, for your blessings towards us. And Lord, as we have gone over this this list, and I hate to call it a list because that gives us like a list mentality of checking things off. But Lord, we thank you that you have just plainly shown us what is required of us. And Lord, when we think about how holy and righteous you are, God, and how we in our state apart from you were exactly the opposite of all these things, that Lord, you loved us so much that you sent your Son, Jesus, to die. And Lord, we are sorry for our sin. We are sorry that we don't live these out perfectly every day. But God, we ask that you would give us your Spirit, Lord. Help us to follow after you. Help us to be that light that would shine brightly for you and for your Son. Thank you, Lord. Be merciful to us. Continue to uphold us by your mighty right hand and your arm, Lord. Please, as we go into the next hour, be with our brother as he brings forth your word. Be with us in the pew as well, and not only here, but wherever your word travels throughout this whole earth. God, would you be glorifying yourself, bringing new sons and daughters to you for your glory. Thank you so much. We pray all now in Jesus' name. Amen.